2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hi, everyone. Before we get to our live recording at FanEx 2023, I just want you to know there are some technical difficulties that happened during this recording. I've done the best I can to kind of edit it, but I think the content is worth listening to. I hope you enjoy and have a great day. We can't wait to see you live next year for FanEx 2024.
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Fan Effect, sponsored by Larry H. Miller Megaplex, the best place to see a movie in Utah. This is a special once-a-year live-in-public recording of Fan Effect at FanEx 2023, the 10th anniversary. We've had a good time. We're on day three, so there's already been 2 days of fun. And is there anybody here that's already been here for both days? And this is their third day here. Make yourself loud. Surviving off exhaustion. That is awesome. Of course, the volunteers all have their hands raised. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
We couldn't do it without you. Well, this episode of Fan Effect, where our podcast, if you're not that familiar with it, we celebrate all things fandoms and especially the fan culture here in Utah. There's a good reason that FanEx has such a great reputation among celebrities in Hollywood, and with all the interviews we've done with Dan Farr over the years, he talks about, you know, they have to turn celebs away because they got to figure out, okay, well, we got to make sure everybody gets a chance. We got to make sure that, this year, this is the most guests they've ever had. I'm just curious, and I'll kind of narrate. You don't have to come up to the mic just yet. Is there even more than you could find time to go get to? Like, if you had to choose, oh, no, I have to pick between someone or someone else because I can only pick one. Has that happened? Well, okay. Yeah, price is definitely a factor. But if you had unlimited, you still wouldn't have enough time to get to all of them just because there's so much going on. But has everyone had a good experience so far?
Woo-hoo!
Awesome. You met your celebrity crush. Okay, we're going to ask you about that later. That's awesome. No, but that's good. Actually, that was a question we were going to ask one of the those of us who moderated, we're going to ask maybe our panelists, is who was your first celebrity crush? Because I'm curious who Hollywood people had crushes on before they became everybody's celebrity crush.
Yeah, but... My husband was a little worried. Oh, sorry. I'm a little worried. But he's like, are we still going to be married after this weekend? After we get out of the box? I was like, yes. And I came home and I was like, I love him even more.
You're like, that depends on Charlie Cox, honey.
He's happily married.
Well, with this particular episode, we were really inspired by Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse this year. And one of the cool concepts that they brought up in the movie was canon moments. If you remember seeing the movie, the canon moments in Peter Parker or the different Spider-Verse people from the different areas of the multiverse, each one had a moment that wasn't to be interfered with because it was that moment that helped make them who they are. For the Peter Parker that most of us know, it was the death of his Uncle Ben. That traumatized him, of course, but it was that event that shaped who he became as a superhero after that. He actually changed from being selfish, because that was the first thing he did, was to try to exploit his power to make some money, which, you know, makes sense for an orphan kid who doesn't have much. But then because of his own inaction, it cost his uncle his life. And if not for that thing to happen, you know, Spider-Man would be a very different superhero, or maybe not a superhero at all. And so, for Don's favorite, Superman, there's actually been a comic book story. What if he landed in Russia instead of in Kansas, and yeah, how different things would play out? And that reminds me, I should probably introduce who each of us are. But, and then we'll get back to the canon moments. But so I'm Andy Farnsworth. I host the movie show on KSL News Radio from 9 to noon on Fridays. And I've hosted the Fan Effect podcast for, 7 years now. That's crazy.
That's cool.
I also do traffic on KSL Radio. If you happen to live locally, you may have heard me telling you how to get to work and around crashes and stuff. So that's me. My big fandoms are Star Wars, Marvel. I really don't have a fandom that I dislike. I just have fandoms that I haven't had time to invest in yet. Like Supernatural has 14 seasons, and I'm not sure if I'll ever start that one just because I don't know if I'll ever finish it. But, you know, Star Wars is big for me, and Marvel are probably my two biggest fandoms. Here's Natalie Molyneux. Natalie, tell us about you.
All right, guys. My name is Natalie Molyneux. I am the writer. I am the writer and creator and of Nat's Nerd Knowledge. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and I go on and I talk about characters in shows that are coming up. And right now, because of the strike, a lot of what I'm doing is kind of telling about these characters in the MCU who we've been introduced to and how their story may play out in the future of the MCU, since the MCU is kind of a mess at the moment, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. But my biggest fandoms are Marvel, obviously, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings. I actually love Supernatural.
I'm not dissing Supernatural. I'm just saying I haven't had time to get into it.
I'll be the Supernatural representative. Those are probably my biggest ones. But yeah, I'm a big nerd. Andy's the one that brought it out of me. He's the one that gave me the courage to actually expose myself.
Well, she wore Captain America earrings to work one day, and she was working at the assignment desk at KSL News and TV. And so I was like, oh, Captain America earrings. And it just kind of went from there, like fandom talk. And then I was like, you were like, well, I don't know. I mean, will they get mad if I wear more fandom stuff here? I was like, no. We don't live in the 1980s anymore where people make fun. Well, there's still people that make fun of you, but they're stupid. And now there's way more of us than them. And that's great.
Yep.
And I still fight that fight, by the way. Yesterday on radio,
I started that fight. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It was, you didn't start it. It was just, it was the thing that I want to fight is, look, you don't have to like all the same stuff that we like. It's fine. But don't dismiss it, or don't dismiss the people who do like it as if there's something wrong with them for liking it. You know, there's like a society, there used to be more than there is now, but there used to be a societal thing where, like, if you like sports and if you like this, then that's cool and normal and you're one of the rest of everybody. But if you like what, comic books, if you like, how come you like this stuff? Like, how can a grown person like this stuff? As they go and see Ghostbusters for like five straight times. So maybe you don't want to cosplay. Maybe maybe you don't want to like wear a Superman shirt, but okay, fine. But if you've ever put on a sports jersey or painted your face and gone to a football game, then you can't make fun of anybody else. Yep. It's just different fandoms for different things. Guilty of all. I have more jerseys actually than I have cosplays personally.
Tons of hockey jerseys.
That's the thing. So it's okay. Everybody can like what they like. And that's one thing I've liked about, you know, the last 10 years since FanX started.
Yes.
It's a lot more publicly here in Salt Lake, partly because of the reputation. And, you know, I remember when the first FanX happened and they had to turn people away because it was so full 10 years ago.
I wouldn't go because I was too embarrassed.
Yeah, me too.
You were too embarrassed.
And we couldn't wait to get lunch because if we left, we couldn't get back in.
So it started, but there were people that were surprised when they saw, wait, how many people showed up for FanX? Why? And that perception is changing. Not maybe as fast as I'd like, but it has made leaps and bounds in the last 10 years. And the number of people who come to FanX, and I saw somebody, they had to be in their late 60s. Had to be.
I love
it. And they were fully cosplayed as like a prince and a princess or a king and a queen.
Oh, I saw them. They were
awesome.
So cute.
Weren't they?
I saw them. They were so cute. All the princesses, the older gentleman was going to all the princesses. I was like, oh, so cute.
You know, I love that. So I'm Kellyanne. I'm a producer at KSL. I'm Andy's producer for Fan Effect and his co-host. What I love what you just said is, so in my job as a producer, I sometimes get to work with people like Sherry Dew, Desert Management Corporation people, things like that. And one time she was co-hosting one of the podcasts I was on, and she was on sports, and she was so excited. I'm like, only sports I knew is Quidditch. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she said, what do you do with your time? Comics, movies, movies, television. I love entertainment. So I'm Killian Halverson. I co-host and produce this podcast. And my mom.
And you're cosplaying as a Twi'lek today.
I'm a Twi'lek Jedi. I've had these noodles, my Lakus, for years. And this is the first time I've been confident enough to wear them. So happy. It's green. I'm a goodie. It lights up.
Awesome.
And my motto in life is to be creative, be bold, be inspiring, and a big part of that is sharing joy, including fandoms. My favorite fandom is probably Disney Parks, Disney in general, and DC Comics, which makes me happy because I'm sitting next to our resident DC superhero fan at KSL, Don Brinkerhoff.
So I'm Don Brinkerhoff. I'm a reporter and editor. I've been with KSL for 23 years, almost 24 years now, that I've been doing that. I am known as Superman, and that's kind of what kicked off the fight yesterday about fandoms.
Don did a story about FanX on KSL Radio in the morning. One of those, I did talk to the host afterwards. He was just kind of trying to take the one side to kind of play it up a little bit on the air to have some fun. He's a huge Disney fan, but he's not to cosplay level. And so that was kind of where he was like, I just don't know if I could cosplay it. And then his co-host Amanda, who's a huge Star Trek fan, who's actually here at FanX to meet Michael Dorn this year. This is her first time coming.
She has to go to Pokemon.
Yeah, and so she was like, well, it's okay. I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on this. And it was okay. And then I was at home, and so I told the producer, I was like, you pop me up right now. And I was like, Tim, you're wrong, Tim.
So what had happened is I talked to a guy who was cosplaying as Lex Luthor. And I walked up and I said, I don't normally talk to people that are holding kryptonite, because he had a shard of kryptonite in his hand. And I said, because I am Superman. And that's what kicked it off, is this guy would not leave character. I talked to him for like 5 minutes, and he was in character the whole time, being Lex Luthor. And, you know, Grandpa Lex said, and da-da-da, or Grandpa Luthor said, and just things. Anyway, and so that's what tipped off the thing. My big fandoms, I am the Superman fan. DC in general, pretty much any time there's a DC, new DC movie or something happens DC, I end up, I actually enjoy it. I go on the air with the movie show. One of the nice things is Andy is pretty good about getting me in when, there's a new DC movie. He's like, hey, come see the preview so we can talk about it on Friday. Okay, I guess.
Sacrifice. Me and him did a deep dive into the Flash movie. It was like the funnest thing for me because he knew what he was talking about.
But I'm also a very big Lord of the Rings fan. I read the Lord of the Rings when I was 8. And so fantasy adventure, I've played D&D since I was in my preteen years. And I read Conan when I was, 11, 12. So I'm kind of like Andy. I actually enjoy all of them. I have a brother-in-law who's a huge Marvel fan, and he and I get into wonderful, wonderful, warm discussions about who would win if so-and-so fought so-and-so. And so
that's part of the fun of fandom, really it is. Now, it's hard for Don, you know, like to brag about all this stuff. So I'm going to brag for him about all this stuff. What's your license plate?
Kal-El.
What is your son's name?
Cal Don.
Oh my gosh.
Cal, son of Don.
Let's see. When I first met Don, I don't think... Maybe there's a day that's gone by where he hasn't worn some Superman article, but I don't think he has. And at this point, I think it's now like a tradition. Like, you're not going to break it.
Well, my station badge is on a Superman lanyard, so.
Well, even your notification on your phone. I know when you're in your bike, I hear the 1970s Superman.
Yeah, so most of the notifications on my phone have some Superman reference. My ringtone is the theme song from Smallville. Somebody save me.
Yes, it is known throughout the newsroom that Don's phone is going off because you hear that song.
So I think we can say fandoms change.
Now, here's the ironic thing is I'm the one that's hosting the Smallville panel today, and it should be Don.
Although
we can't talk about Smallville, so that's good.
I would give my both of my... canines to host that panel.
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the last time that this Michael Rosenbaum was here, he actually went down into the audience, and this was in the Grand Ballroom, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the Grand Ballroom during his celebrity panel.
And Don was in his half Superman, half Clark Kent outfit, and he came down, sat with him for part of his panel, and was talking. Don was up on the big screen. It was awesome.
Yeah, so he was literally hiding from the camera behind me. There's a great shot. If you go look at their promotional material, like Fanex promotional material, you will see Michael Rosenbaum, and he was his hair was really short. I don't think he was bald, but you'll see Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, sliding out from behind Clark Kent as he's partially, you know, his shirt's exposed. The funny thing, I was sitting next to my son, who betrayed me and is a Spider-Man fan.
Good for him. Yes. Good for him.
That is not a betrayal. There's room for everyone.
Speaking of Spider-Man fans, maybe we should get to some of the canon events.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I did want to say, we have this chance, we're up here, we're panelists, we're having fun. What is the nerdiest moment of your life of something that you've done that is the nerdiest thing you've ever done?
This.
I'll start while you think about it. For my wedding rehearsal dinner, I opened up all of my Star Wars toys and they were the centerpieces at the tables. So... And here's the funny thing. I was worried that the kids were going to play with the toys. It was all the people my age that were playing with the toys at the centerpieces at the dinner table. So first of all, I have an incredibly understanding and loving wife who didn't mind that her wedding rehearsal dinner had Star Wars toys at the center of the tables. We had like an inflatable Yoda head balloon. Like it was a Star Wars themed wedding dinner the night before we got married. And that is the nerdiest thing I've ever done in my life so far.
All right, Dad.
If you guys have an answer already, I'm still brainstorming a little bit.
All right. So for the, and I've done this, I did this twice, for the countdown to the new releases. So episode one of Star Wars, I bought all of the little things from Sonic, the little squish toys. I have them all. I have all of the cans from Pepsi and Mountain Dew. And I mean, every single
one of them. Oh, I remember all of those. Yeah.
I have every single one of them. And my.
Did you get the drink toppers that like Pizza Hut and Taco Bell
yes.
did?
Oh, I did. I have the boxes from Pizza Hut. I have all of the boxes from Pizza Hut.
That's awesome.
And then my front, the front window of my house. Was completely Star Wars out. I did the same thing for...
He was married at the time, by the way. And had children.
My wife allowed me to do this. She's wonderful as well.
No, he still is.
She's wonderful. So my entire front window was Star Wars stuff. For Superman Returns, I went even further. I had completely covered my front windows with a countdown that I changed every day to the coming out of Superman Returns.
Wow.
And then he worked that night as a reporter because he was working overnight. So they sent him out to see the preview of Superman Returns, or at least when it opened.
Midnight.
I saw you at it right after we had watched the midnight screening. And I was like, so Don, what did you think of it? And he holds his hand out and it's shaking.
I loved Superman Returns. There's one problem with that movie.
Oh, no.
And that was that the director decided to cut the first 30 minutes because Warner Brothers wouldn't allow him to go over 3 hours. And it explained why Superman was off the Earth. So the entire explanation of why he wasn't there was gone from the movie. Read the book. It's in there.
Interesting.
All right, Kellyanne. Dressing up as a Twi'lek at Fanix.
This is actually pretty big, because 10 years ago, my first Fanix, I was just rediscovering myself. I'd hid my nerdiness almost my whole life, although I was like the theater kid and things like that. I was so nervous when I came to my first Fanix. I wanted to dress up as Wonder Woman, but no, I can't do that. I'm a big girl, and like I'm a grown-up. I'm supposed to be a grown-up. So I just have like a tiara and my bracers, a red shirt, and jeans. And now here I'm sitting here with my Twi'lek towels on a panel. My job is a semi-professional nerd, and I love that. Like, this is what Fan Effect does to people. We're with our people, we're with our fandoms. So I'm gonna say this moment right here, even though I keep playing with my lacoon book and my noodles because they're sliding off my ears. this moment right here is probably my nerdiest thing.
And you're all here to witness it. Wow.
Thursday, she was Mary Marvel and yep. pulled off one of the best Mary Marvel costumes I've seen.
Yes, thanks to her universe and Ashley Eckstein's wonderful brand.
Man, so
all right, Natalie, your turn.
There's been so many things. That's why it's been hard to brainstorm. Like Andy said, it took me a while to get out of, like, I always knew I was a nerd, but never really showed it because I grew up watching Star Trek, but my family like never really showed it. We were just like, we just watched Star Trek in the basement. That's how we watched Star Trek. But I think honestly, the biggest leap I took in like exposing myself as a nerd really was starting all my social media stuff, really. And it's been awesome though, because now people just know me as being a super nerd, and then people like in my neighborhood will see me doing the celebrity panel moderating here at FanX. They're like, I didn't know you were such a big nerd. I'm like, yeah, I am. I was like, I just never go outside because I work in my basement all the time. But I'm even at my
work. That is where nerds are known to live.
But my office is decked out in Funko Pops. I've got my Daredevil poster signed by Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio yesterday. And I have, it's just, my office is nerdy. So everyone that comes in my house is like, where's all your nerd stuff? I'm like, let me show you. It's all downstairs, all organized. But
even though you ditched us at KSL, we can't have you leave because we love your nerdiness and we want you with us.
I know. I love my KSL family. And I'm so glad that I still have an attachment to it. But my wedding too. The garter that comes, you know, like under my dress had a...
is that where the garter is?
That's where the garter is. Okay. Had a pin of Darth Vader and it said, "Who's your daddy?"
Nice.
So that was the nerdy thing at my wedding.
I like it. Okay, so one of the main topic for our show today is canon moments, and we mentioned a little bit earlier about how Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse kind of prompted that thought. And we talked a little bit about it on our podcast about Across the Spider-Verse, yep. which, by the way, you can listen to on Spotify or KSL Podcasts or all the different things. But we wanted to open it up here at FanX. We wanted to get Don's thoughts on it. We'll tell you again what were some canon moments for us. But then that's why we have the mic out. Is those of you who are here at the panel, we want to know what are your fandom things. We're celebrating everybody, not just us. So, Don, since you've probably been the Superman fan the longest, why don't you start? What were maybe one or two canon moments where, and this is what we're looking for, where your fan, being a fan of a fandom, actually had an influence in your life, or something, it can be that, or it could be something else, it could be something more serious, like something that happened in your life that's made you who you are today.
So, there's a bunch.
Okay, we're limited to one or two.
I know. I was pretty young and reading when the Ringwraiths come for Fatty. And I'm in my room alone, and it's, you know, like 9 o'clock at night.
Which book is this?
This is in Lord of the Rings. It's in Fellowship of the Rings.
Fellowship of the Ring.
It
okay.
was left out of the movie. And I'm sitting here as an 8-year-old. Reading this book, and I got scared to death by the Ringwraiths. They're going to get Fatty. They're going to get Fatty. They're going to get Fatty. And I literally closed the book. I walked in, and in fact, it was later than that because it was 10:30. My parents were watching MASH. I remember when MASH used to run at 10:30. And I walked in, and I just sat down in the living room, and I just sat there, and my parents both looked at me, and look back at the show, and they never, my mom and dad to this day do not know what happened. But that moment made me love literature, love books. I don't get a lot of time to read, but I listen to books now. as I'm driving, as I'm going places, I listen to things. The other one, and this is kind of the biggest canon moment of probably, first day of kindergarten. Okay. I've been a superhero fan probably since I was born. And, so first day of kindergarten, I'm walking onto the playground and I said, where am I going to find someone that wants to play Super Friends with me? Now, that tells you what age I am. Yes, the Super Friends.
As long as nobody wanted to play Marvin or the dog, then you're good.
But yeah, so Super Friends from the 70s, you know, and a kid was behind me said, I'll play with you. And he literally became my best friend. And he and I, in fact, our senior year of high school. So this is the first day of kindergarten. Senior year of high school, we had one class that we weren't in together. So that is probably my big, big moment.
So when did you decide you were going to be a Superman fan? Like, what was your canon moment to become as big a Superman fan as you are?
Christopher Reeve, period.
Can't argue with that. Cannot argue with that. All right, Natalie, I'm going to go on you next.
Okay, so if you haven't listened to podcasts and if you're friends, sorry, if you listen to podcasts and you're friends with me, you know I'm okay to talk about this now. I might get a little emotional about it, but I was hit by a car in May while I was out running, and it's changed my life in a lot of ways, and it's been hard, really hard. The recovery has been really hard, and dealing with a lot of things. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell if you met me, but my front teeth are missing. I can't move my wrist as much as it used to. And running is just a huge part of who I am besides my fandoms. And so when I got hit, it was hard to have to go through physical therapy and surgeries. And I still have a whole year left of oral work that needs to be done to get back, even though I won't ever get back to where I was before. And so I've also had to start therapy for my PTSD. And like, I can't watch a lot of the same movies I used to watch because there's just scenes in them that trigger it and make me tense up and get really nervous and scared because it reminds me of what happened and the sounds and all that situation. And so there was like a few months ago, I had just started going through trauma therapy. And so my emotions were high and I was getting depressed because I was coming to the realization, like, I'm not going to be the same person who I was, you know, 5 months ago. And it wasn't my choice because this gentleman, I can't go into it, but this person hit me with their car. It wasn't my choice. And I was talking with some friends and they were all of our kids started kindergarten, our firstborns. And so they're talking about how nervous they were about their kids starting kindergarten and all these things. And inside of me the whole time I'm thinking, like, I don't really want to talk about this because I'm sad about other things going on at the moment. And my daughter's doing great in kindergarten. And so I thought about what we were talking about on the Fan Effect podcast about canon moments. And I was like, well, if our kids never grow up, they're never going to change. They're never going to have those canon moments, those moments where we have no control over it kind of thing. And so it came to Spider-Man. And I was like, and I did say, like, Spider-Man, they're not nerds. And I was like, Spider-Man wouldn't have become Spider-Man had he not lost his Uncle Ben. And then I was like, and that, like, I said it out loud, but it hit me more than it hit then. I was like, that's right. Like I have to accept that this happened and I have to move forward with it, with what I have kind of thing. And so from like any time now that I felt like, you know, angry or sad about what has happened and what I still have to go through to get back to wherever I was like, this is a canon moment. You have a chance to, better yourself, to up-level yourself in so many other ways. And so I decided to start training for a half marathon and I'll be running my fourth one on Thanksgiving Day. And so that really, I'm a Marvel fan and there's things that Daredevil has done for me too, but that the thought of Spider-Man having to go through a hard moment that he didn't choose to go through. He didn't choose to get bit by Spider. He didn't choose to have his Uncle Ben die. But he chose to still be a great superhero and to overcome all that.
Awesome. Thanks, Natalie. All right, Kellyanne.
I love that you said that, because when we recorded our podcast, our deep dive into Spider-Verse 2, we kind of jokingly said, is this going to be a canon event? Because you had just gotten to the accident and you're like, well, I'm going to talk about something else. And I love that since that time you've thought about it. And that's what fandoms are about. They change you. They change your view. Mine, you know, I kind of mentioned how my life kind of went through a change about 10 years ago, and I decided to embrace my nerdiness, embrace my joy, and share my joy. Around that time is when the Supergirl TV shows had just started. And I was just like, I'm going to watch this. I love DC Comics. I've hid it for years, and now I'm kind of showing it. And I was thinking about, what do I want to do with my life? What, I want to change careers. I want to do these things. And I'm so scared. I have anxiety. I have OCD. It's all diagnosed. Why? But I want to share this joy. And in the first season, she's having a conversation. And one thing she basically said is, scared is like what you're feeling in the moment, but brave and courage is what you're doing. And I thought, oh my gosh, like fear and bravery are two different things. And I can do this. I can apply for the job to be the producer of the movie show. I can ask for a tour with executives at the DC Comics studios. I can go to FanX and do these different things. And it's okay that I'm feeling afraid as I'm doing it. Because if Supergirl can have fear and be brave at the same time, so can I. And so I think that is one of my biggest canon fandom crossover moments in my life.
Awesome. Thank you, Kellyanne. All right. I'm going to keep my part short because we want to hear from each of you if you're willing to get up to the mic and tell us your fandom moment, canon moment. But for me, there's a couple that come to mind. One for Star Wars. I always liked Star Wars, and I remember, you know, being so excited to go wait in line through a whole entire screening of Return of the Jedi so I could go see it in the next screening. But it was a little bit later on. I was probably, I don't know, 10, 12-ish age. And I was kind of in that point, like, where I really liked this stuff, and there were no more Star Wars movies. But this was the first time I met an adult who was a massive Star Wars and Star Trek fan. We were talking, like, middle 80s, okay? So there weren't a lot of people that made that kind of stuff known, especially if they were grown-ups. And I remember talking with him, and it was a friend of mine who lived around the corner, a neighbor family, and his name was Wade. And he said something like, oh yeah, no, I love Star Wars. I was like, well, I like it too. He's like, no, I love it. I said, yeah, but you know, like, I got to worry about other things. He goes, no, man, Star Wars fits all parts of your life. I was like, yeah, but what about church? He's like, no, there's all kinds of good stuff you can take that applies to the same thing that you're learning at church. And I was like, what? And he's like, look at this. Like, listen to what Yoda says. He's like, luminous beings are we, not just this crude matter. And he goes, all this stuff. I was like, you're right. He does say all those things. And that's when, and then he gave us a copy of Star Wars that we then watched the tar out of on VHS. So that was my first time that I realized you can be a big fan of these things and be a grown up at the same time. So that was awesome. And then I remember the first time the Spider-Man 67 series. So I knew who Spider-Man was, and I'd seen Spider-Man on Electric Company, if any of you are old enough to remember Spider-Man on Electric Company. So I knew who he was. I knew he had spider powers. I knew generally he was bitten by a radioactive spider. But I was watching the 67 cartoon series when it was on reruns, and it showed his origin story. And I had no idea about his uncle being shot. I had no idea about any of these things. And I almost cried, like, it's his own fault. What? But that's when I got, like, a really cool connection to Spider-Man, more so than maybe other superheroes was, you know, and that's what, as I've done the study over the years, that, you know, Stan Lee was going for that, a relatable person to everybody, and that was what was happening to me. I just didn't know that that was an intentional thing on the part of the writers, and that's part of the reason that, you know, all apologies to Superman, but Spider-Man is the top superhero IP, maybe really close, unfortunately, to Batman. I like Batman, don't get me wrong, but I like Superman better than Batman. But that's why Spider-Man, I think, resonates more than anybody, any other superhero. Is just sort of that, and that's why a movie like Spider-Verse can happen, because the principles of what makes Spider-Man good, you can apply them to all these different characters across a whole universe of different people, different origins, ethnicities, and all those things. And then they all have, each of them have that canon moment. So that for me is what it is. And, you know, my kids, I got three of my kids here at the panel today. They know how big of a nerd I am. And I've never pushed any particular fandom onto them, but they all have their own. In fact, let's see. Well, I'll have them come on the mic later and tell us what their fandoms are. But
time for us to hear from you. We've got a mic here. Come up, tell us your name, tell us where you're from, and tell us what your favorite fandom is, and tell us what is your canon moment. And if you need to move the mic down, you can. Or up.
Okay, so my name is Alyssa. I'm from Highland, and
you're cosplaying right now, yes?
Yes, Tinkerbell.
Just remember, because this is audio, so we have to tell people what you're...
Yeah, I'm cosplaying as Tinkerbell. I have a lot of fandoms. I'm autistic at 8, and I have ADHD, so that kind of also affects me, and I've had a lot of hyperfixations into certain fandoms over the course of my life, but the one that, like, stands out to me that I felt like sharing, because it's been a huge part of my life, is The Sound of Music.
Okay.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
I think it's just because, like, it's so, like, you know, big. Like, I remember, because, like, I was such a, you know, stubborn baby. I was crying a lot, and, like, when my mom would play it, I remember just, like, calming down and just, like, soothe me. And then, like, as it grew older, like, and I understood it more, a lot of the things, like, stood out. Like, I related to Maria, like, she has confidence, and I'm like, oh wait, I need to have confidence like her, you know, in order to get through life. And this, like, the music and stuff, because, like, I'm a musician myself, and just, like, there's just, like, so many things from Sound of Music that have, like, really changed my life as I've gotten older. And it's, you know, shaped who I am. Like, I don't know if I would be myself without The Sound of Music, which sounds so cheesy, but...
No, not at all. In fact, if anywhere, this is where it doesn't sound cheesy.
Like, honestly, like, I think, you know, like, having The Sound of Music, it introduced me to Julie Andrews, because my mom was like, oh, yeah, Julie Andrews is in Mary Poppins. And then when the Princess Diaries movies came out, because I'm a 90s baby, a late 90s baby, so when the... Princess Diaries movies came out, my mom's like, oh, Julie Andrews is in them, let's see him. And I was like, okay, let's watch them. And then I'm like, okay, I'm falling in love with these movies. So, you know,
what I love about Maria as well is she thought her life was going to go one direction, that God wanted her to go in that one direction, and she was able to recognize, no, it needs to go this direction. And how many times has that happened in our
life? Right, right. Like, the mother abbess is like, you know, the Lord will, like, like, not to get religious. Yeah. She's like, the Lord will, like, direct you. Or, like, basically, you know, whatever you believe in. Like, life will direct you in the way it's supposed to. Like, not how you necessarily
want it. Not how you think
it.
It's going to go or how you want it. Exactly.
Exactly. And, like, that's what I, like, recently, like, related to. Like, because I've been, like, at a crossroads with, like, my career path and educational path and whatnot. And, like, I, like, when I recently watched it, I'm like, okay, this is making me cry. Please stop. Like, you know, like, because, like, she's in the place, and, like, mm-hmm. I think she didn't realize that she was falling in love with the captain. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what the mother Abbas was like. She's like, you're falling in love with him, girly? Go back to him.
Thank you for sharing.
Awesome, Alyssa.
Yay.
All right.
Ghostbusters fan.
I love it.
Love it.
Woo. My name is Jason. The first Ghostbusters is my all-time favorite movie. Well, actually, I have two canon moments. One related to it. It actually came about really after Harold Ramis passed on. I mean, I think maybe when I was much younger and first saw the movie, when my family rented it, maybe I was a little more attached to Bill Murray's character, Peter Venkman. But I think over time, I realized I was more like Egon Spengler.
Okay.
Because I try to be thoughtful, and maybe I don't always agree, get along with people. But at the same time, I know I try to do the right thing, and... I mean, a few years ago, in fact, I came as Egon to FanX, but not as I wasn't able to get a jumpsuit in the right size, so I just used an old sport coat and a sweater vest I bought at DI, which I the latter I still have. It was the Ghostbusters 2 courtroom scene, and I even had
a couple other Ghostbusters
fans come and get one a picture with me for.
Yes.
That is awesome.
And every time I watch the movie, at least once a year, it's the only time I ever eat Twinkies, because I eat one. I eat one that gets the big Twinkie scene in Ramis's honor. I also really love Groundhog Day too. My other canon moment was last summer. My dad died, and then about a couple months later, in fact, the week of FanX last year was when Andor premiered on Disney Plus, and I just watched that. And maybe it's just a reminder to keep moving on. Because yeah. I saw that was what Cassian Andor was attempting to do from all the things that went bad in his life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I interviewed Charlie Hunnam on Zoom last week ahead of FanX, and he talked about when he comes to conventions like this that, because I said, well, what's it like being the person that everybody comes to see? And he said, he goes, you know, it's surprisingly emotionally taxing. He goes, you know, people come up to me and he says, you know, some are there, they're just excited. They want to tell me that they love the thing I was in. And he's like, but then there's every once in a while somebody comes up and says, hey, you know, my dad passed away last year. And when he was sick, he and I watched Sons of Anarchy together. So thank you for creating something that allowed us to bond. And then he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then stop. And he's like, tell me about your dad. And so then he goes, but I get home on Monday and he goes, and I am just so wiped. But that's the thing. They actually appreciate hearing things like that.
My name's David. My name's David. I grew up in Salt Lake City, actually, and currently live in Ogden. So I have heard you, Andy, on traffic before.
I was commuting to
Salt Lake City. Even sometimes, if we're coming down to Salt Lake City with my family in the evening, I'll turn on traffic and hear your voice. Don, you have me beat on Lord of the Rings. I read when I was 11. You can't see it, but I am dressed as a descendant of Barahir. I am wearing the Ring of Barahir.
Oh, awesome.
Which,
I love
in the film The Lord of the Rings, Aragorn's wearing it. However, in the actual written canon of Tolkien, years before he meets the Fellowship of the Ring, he gave it to Arwen as an engagement ring.
Aww.
Yes. I did not know that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not read the books.
There's one other canon moment here. I saw Star Wars when I was, the original film, when I was 7 years old. I still call it the original.
Yes, it is the original. From someone who is the same age.
I do occasionally refer to it as A New Hope, but to me it's the original Star Wars. And so that year, everyone in first grade went as a stormtrooper. But mine was homemade. I only bought the mask, and then my dad, who was a woodworker, created a wooden rifle as a prop, and then my mother found some cardboard that was regular cardboard color on one side, white on the other, and was bendable. And so while everyone else's costume was store-bought, mine was actually homemade and a little more sturdy than some of these other guys. I passed the love of fandom on to my children. My daughter, when she got married, had a Lord of the Rings themed wedding.
I love it.
Awesome.
And Hobbit. Together, a bunch of us came up with quotes, and instead of Star Wars figures on the tables, they were actually the quotes from various, both the books and the films.
I love that.
I love it.
And my son, when he had his wedding, his wife was also a big Star Wars fan. They actually had a Star Wars themed wedding.
With the lightsaber arch?
No, but they had a duel as just before they left with lightsabers playing the Imperial March in the background. And they had me, because my daughter-in-law has younger kids who are, or younger brothers, I should say, who are in the 5-6 year old range. They had me take some of my Star Wars figures that I've accumulated all over the years since 1977 and use them to keep him occupied and any other kids who were there. Those are the canon moments, you might say, but my children have got their own fandoms. My son who got married also loves Doctor Who. So basically my life has been fandom. I appreciate fandom. So those would be my canon moments, I guess.
Awesome. And thank you for being here on FanFest.
And I want to see that ring when the panel's over.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to join up? I'm going to make my kids come up and just say what their favorite fandom is right now. Zach, you're first.
They're all shaking their head like, Dad.
Hey, Zach, I'll say it then. What is yours? Is it Pokemon? Is it Power Rangers? Because he watched all the Power Rangers. He likes Transformers, too. He's gotten into that this year.
Remember what I said? You can be scared and brave at the same time.
Look, here.
All right, Zach. Don't worry about it. Cameron, what's yours? Are you going to come up and say, all right?
We're all nerds. We're all adult nerds. You guys can join.
My name is Cameron. I'm Andy's son. I grew up with all of those.
Yes.
Marvel, Star Wars, you name it, I grew up with it.
Be Peter Parker, Miles Morales.
Because you have the Spider-Man now.
Andrew Johnson.
Oh, okay. He likes Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man.
That one.
Okay, that's fair.
He
made
him Spider-Man.
He can be wrong. Just kidding.
It's like...
All right. But I also know Cameron is a massive Pokemon fan.
Yes.
And they're excited here. All three of them are excited to hopefully see Christina V, who voices Marinette from Miraculous. And Cameron's hoping to see the voice of Ash Ketchum.
Absolutely.
I also know they're big Psych fans.
Sarah's really cool. I talked to her on Thursday, so...
Oh, her name's Sarah. Yes, Dawn did get to know you. All right, Cam, thanks, bud.
Yeah, Cam.
All right, we're almost out of time. Does anybody else want to hop up? I guess we do have more time. Oh, no, we are almost out of time. Yeah. Anybody else that hasn't had a chance want to hop up and say what's their fandom or what was a canon moment that shaped what made them the fans of what they are? All right, I love it. I see Ms. Marvel coming
out. Is that her universe?
Yeah.
I tell you, she has the best outfits.
So tell us your name.
Ms. Marvel. My name is Rena, and this, I can't say this is my favorite fandom, but it has done the biggest impact in my life, and that is the Archer TV show.
Okay.
And
who do you identify with?
Well, hopefully none of them.
That's a good point.
They're all terrible people, but, when I was pregnant with my first son, I had this long list of like traditional family names from my mother's side, which is all very Italian. And it was like Giovanni, Leonardo, and we were going through all the names. But in the meantime, we were nicknaming him Archer because that's what we were watching at the time. And so when it came the day of his birth, that was all we could call him. So his name is Archer. And then when I got pregnant again a couple years later, we were like, what if we found a name from the same show? And so my second son.
Tell me it's Krieger.
My second son is Conway. So now I have Archer and Conway, and they will never watch the show that they are named after.
If you have a daughter, will it be Lana, Pam?
My friend Nate named his daughter Lana.
Yes.
Awesome.
She was born like a year after my son, so it was like perfect. So we're trying to get the whole group. So if anybody wants to like is pregnant and wants to name a kid from the TV show, we could just get the whole thing.
So why are you cosplaying as Ms. Marvel today?
Well, I'm calling it the Marvelous Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
Yes.
I love it.
So. You're my friend. You don't know it, but I love retro looks. That makes me so happy.
But yeah, this is actually the most calm cosplay I've done.
Yep.
And it feels different.
It's bounding. It's a little bit different. It's more casual.
Different.
So you're Miss Maisel.
Marvel
sister.
Yeah.
Yes. There's another one. I love that show. She's such an inspiration. She's not real, but she's my girl.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing and joining. And for if there's anybody else, otherwise we'll. Okay, we got one more. Awesome.
Okay. And anyone as well? I have Nerds for You Nerds up here.
Oh, yes, yes. Nerds, we have candy around the table. I should have been showing these to you.
I should have. And then also, we're going to use these pictures and audio, just so you know, you guys are okay with that for KSL stuff? I get thumbs up. Great.
Let's All right.
All right, sir.
All right, tell us your name.
My name is...
you can move the mic up if you... There you go.
My name is Spencer, and I think the moment that pulled me into everything Star Wars was the opening scene... on episode 4, where you hear these laser blasts and you see the Tantive IV blockade runner trying to outrun that Star Destroyer.
That looks so massive.
And I love that scene. I love that ship. I finally bought the Lego version a few years ago, and it's awesome. It's really great.
Awesome. That is great. Awesome. And it's funny that you say that. This is another massively nerdy moment. When I was younger, I used to like, with my hand, I would like make the little ship as I close one eye.
Oh my
so
God.
It looked like the sun stroke.
That's great.
Oh, I never thought of that until you just said that.
You still do it, Andy. You don't mind.
I do. But is Star Wars your favorite fandom?
I think so.
Yeah. And who are you cosplaying today?
I am just a Renaissance medieval person because I don't have anything else.
That's okay.
I thought you looked like
Well,
Shakespeare.
I do get into the Bard. So there's also a great integration combination of Shakespeare and Star Wars.
I have seen those.
Those are wonderful reads.
Yes, you can get them at the library. All of them have them.
They have R2 and C-3PO soliloquizing, and it's beautiful.
Because fandoms are awesome and mashing them up is amazing.
Yes. Now, you talk about episode 4 or A New Hope or the original Star Wars. Thank you very much. I just call it Star Wars. It drives my kids nuts. I love the scene where Luke, it's sunset and Luke is kind of sitting there and you see his potential. They did, the filmmakers did such an amazing job of showing the potential of this boy.
And John Williams' score at that, that scene.
The music there, and just the way that scene is epic. And I'm weird because my favorite episode is 6, is Return of the Jedi, when Luke rejects the Emperor's temptations and throws his lightsaber away and says, no, I am a Jedi like my father before me.
Yep. That's why fandoms are so powerful. They're such a huge part of our lives.
They change us. And we're so excited you guys shared with us today how they changed you. And if you guys want to listen to our podcast, Andy's going to tell us a little bit about
that. Well, yeah, so we do have to wrap it up because we do have to give the room over to somebody else. But thank you to each of you who got up. And yeah, let's give yourselves a hand.
Yay!
I want to thank our panelists today, Don Brinkerhoff, Kellyanne Halverson, Natalie Molyneux, and I'm Andy Farnsworth. And we appreciate it. We hope you listen to us. Thanks for all of you who are just joining us via podcast for listening to this episode. It's a KSL News Radio podcast beyond sci-fi, fantasy, gaming, and tech. We're excited to share with you our knowledge and occasionally arguments on everything pop culture and fandom. We're based in the beautiful Beehive State, and FanFX celebrates Utah's unique fan culture, as you heard today, and we're excited to bring you local guests. Doesn't get any more local than each of you that feel the same way. I'm Andy Farnsworth. Do you have a fun idea for a local fan culture topic you'd like to explore with us? Let us know by messaging our Facebook page at FanFX Show, where you can also get the latest nerdly updates and join the conversation, or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FanEffect Show. It's EFFECT. Thanks for listening, and we hope to have you back real soon for another episode of Fan Effect. Come get nerds.
Yes, nerds for nerds. They're stickers. I love sharing the joy.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.